This much we do know, recapping again, because we're going from fragmentary reports. Senator Kennedy, brother of the assassinated President John F. Kennedy, was shot in the Ambassador Hotel, lying on the floor of the hotel kitchen after the shooting, blood streaming over his face, his eyes reportedly open but unseeing. The senator's assailant, as yet unidentified, apparently was captured by Rafer Johnson and a half dozen of Kennedy supporters. Police reportedly, heavily armed, have rushed the young man or the suspect away from that scene and apparently for interrogation. Boyd?
Bob, a thought just struck me. One of the last remarks that Senator Kennedy made when he was making what appeared to be a victory statement was a joking remark that he had received a message from his old adversary, Mayor Sam Yorty, that he had stayed too long. And little did anyone know at that moment that he had stayed too long. I'm wondering if Ray McMacken has been able to compose himself and whether we can reach him down at the Kennedy headquarters or whether or not we have been...
I'm signaled that we cannot at this moment, Boyd.
I would imagine that one of the first things he would try to do would be to move all of the news people out of there. And as we heard from Jerry Dunphy, they shut off the power so that the TV crews didn't have any lights anymore, removing some of the carnival atmosphere. Unfortunately, that's what always appears to be happening when all of the bright lights are on. Now we can go back to Kennedy headquarters. Here's Ray Williams.
Right, Boyd. What's happening here now is that evidently we're going to be ushered out of here very shortly. They want this complete room empty. They are asking now the television crews to remove their equipment to conduct their interviews on the outside. No new evidence has come our way as to just what occurred, who was involved. All persons evidently involved in the shooting, those being shot, the suspects being apprehended, have been removed from the premises. The whole room is going to be cordoned off. Outside in the halls, we know it's complete bedlam. We understand that they've completely blocked off this building. The police are coming through now, and they're making motions that it's going to be time for us to go.
Ray,
our best results will be coming. Well, there was a request for another doctor, so we might still have one of the injured persons on the inside yet. But the big problem is that some of the Kennedy workers are still here. They're causing more confusion than the press. Members of the press are running around taking, in some instances, rampant reports that have no credence whatsoever. But that's the way it goes in a moment of tragedy like this. That's about the scene here right now at the embassy room. Much quieter, much sadder, quite a bit more tragic than it was just an hour ago. Back to you, Bob.
Ray Williams there. We have added information, and it's fragmentary, of course, that the apparent assailant, a man about 25 years of age, curly-haired, and according to this report, of Latin appearance, was captured by Kennedy supporters. He was rushed through the Ambassador Hotel lobby by police. If we dovetail these reports, this will coincide and correlate what Bob Ferris was saying from the outside. He had watched the armed police come rushing out with a suspect, apparently, in custody. And at that time, there was a number of fights that also broke out as people became excited and as rumors spread, as they always do in a case of this nature. Unfortunately, no one seems to have a clear and concise idea as to who the individual might be. We earlier had a report that it was Negro. Now it is of Latin American extraction, and we would hope that all would bear with us until we can sift out this fragmentary information and try to bring you a complete report and as an accurate report as we possibly can. Ray McMacken was an eyewitness to it. He said the senator had been shot, and he said in the head. Three other persons had also been shot. We had a report that one was Kennedy's brother-in-law, Stephen Smith, another a woman, another a small child.
Bob, the thought occurs that something like this very definitely had to be premeditated. Someone with hate in his heart had to have thought to himself that this was what he wanted to do. He had to arm himself, undoubtedly, with a revolver, something that would be easily hidden, and go now
We will go to
Denny
Senator
Bracken.
McCarthy's headquarters.
Denny Bracken.
Bob, I am witnessing a silent procession from the Grand Ballroom McCarthy headquarters here at the Beverly Hilton. The senator just sent down word about a minute and a half ago. He asked for a moment of silent prayer for Senator Robert Kennedy. There were probably about 150 still left in the Grand Ballroom. That wish was acknowledged. The moment of silent prayer ended just a few seconds ago, and the senator asked that each, in his own way, then go home and meditate and say a few more silent prayers for Senator Robert Kennedy. So far, those are the only comments from Senator McCarthy. The Grand Ballroom here at the Beverly Hilton is very quiet, it is very solemn, it is subdued. That moment of silent prayer has been extended into several moments for not only the supporters of Senator McCarthy, but the newsmen from all of the broadcast media. This is Dennis Bracken from the Grand Ballroom, McCarthy headquarters. Back to Bob Arthur at KNX Election News.
The shooting of Senator Kennedy occurred right after he had spoken to about 1,000 supporters in that crowded ballroom. His wife, Ethel, who was with him, was not injured. You were pointing out a minute ago that someone had to premeditate this action,
yes,
Boyd.
Someone had to have hate in their heart and arm themselves with a weapon that could easily be hidden so that they could get into this place. And someone also had to figure out where the senator would be so that he can intercept him. Someone very definitely planned this, someone with hate in their heart.
We would point out that Senator Kennedy's appearances had been delayed throughout the course of the evening. As we know, he had been expected from almost 10 o'clock on, but had delayed his appearance in the Ambassador Hotel so that he could watch the returns and listen to the returns as they were broadcast, checking obviously with his lieutenants up and down the coast to make some sort of determination as to whether or not he was, in fact, the winner of the California Democratic primary. When he became convinced in his own mind that he had won, then he did make that appearance. So whoever did lie in wait for the senator apparently had been there for quite a long period of time, knew that the senator would eventually make some sort of an appearance and some sort of a statement, whether he in victory or in defeat. We have late information that's just been handed us. We know we have not yet been able to make contact with central receiving. The phone was finally answered after a great many tries, but only silence followed the taking of that phone off the hook. We do know that John D. O'Connell of KNX News Radio is at that hospital, and just as soon as it's possible for him to give us some information, he will. Don Shulman, a witness, said that Senator Kennedy was walking to the kitchen when he was shot, and here's another report, three times by the gunman who stepped out of the crowd. We do know there were a flurry of shots fired, but we know others were wounded. Shulman, who witnessed the shooting, said the gunman was shot by Kennedy bodyguards and taken into custody. This is in conflict with other statements that we've had. This we have found in our experience as a newsman is the thing that normally happens in such a tragedy like this, or when there are rapid firing events taking place. A great many witnesses have a great many different ideas, and it takes some time in order for the true report to come out. We had this recently in the case of Dr. Martin Luther King, who was shot fatally in Memphis. At that time, first reports had Dr. King being shot and wounded as he sat in a car outside the hotel. Then later on, shot on the balcony. As it turns out, that was the correct report.
Well, even more recently, Bob, when the senator was here on a campaign tour, and he had made several stops and several appearances, and after a rally out in the valley was returning to his hotel, there were all sorts of reports that the senator had been hit with some sort of a missile or some such thing. I asked the senator himself about it at that time. He said nothing had happened. And I got it then from another reporter who said what had happened was that some youngsters standing on an overpass had wanted to drop some candy into the senator's car as he went by. The candy fell. Some of it apparently touched the senator. He was shocked, and he sat down. And this led to all kinds of reports that the senator had been hit by a missile, and he was hit in the head, and he was hurt, and so on and so forth. So we do, in these instances, have all sorts of conflicting reports. I say again that Ray McMacken, as a trained reporter on the scene there, should very well have given us a true picture of what is going on. Now we go back to Kenny, to the Kennedy headquarters, the Ambassador Hotel. Ray? Is Ray McMacken there? Or Ray Williams at the Ambassador Hotel?
We were expecting. Apparently they are not making contact right now, Boyd. We'll stand by and complete that call just as soon as we possibly can. It would seem, as a result of this tragedy and other tragedies that have taken place in the last few years, that there will be greater and tighter security for the nation's major political candidates, no matter what the occasion, Boyd. There are many who have called for greater security in times past. Of course, a candidate's appeal is that of being able to mingle with the crowd, to say hello, to shake hands, and to speak a few words. This, of course, puts him, under these trying circumstances, in grave danger, as we know here. Of course, who would think for a moment that in a victory celebration, such as the one that the senator was enjoying, that this would turn into a personal tragedy and personal injury to him? How you could possibly screen everyone at a victory celebration is the unanswered question. Obviously, you could not, unless it is confined, or a candidate's appearances are confined away from large crowds and into appearances on television or appearances on radio. This, again, takes the senator or the candidate, whoever he might be, out of that personal contact with the people. He must have that contact in order to influence a voter and influence those who would cast their ballots. Now we're going to swing back to Kennedy headquarters to Ray Williams.
Well, Bob, my producer, Marshall Voigt, has been out in the crowd all evening getting people to interview. And just as Kennedy was leaving the platform, there was quite a bit of pandemonium that broke out. He immediately ran over to see what was happening, as the females were hysterically screaming. And he came back with the word that there had been a shooting. Now, he has talked with a friend of his, and he will now tell us exactly what it was the friend relayed to him in connection with this tragedy.
Yes, Ray, I saw a fireman friend of mine who wanted to remain anonymous, and he confirmed that Kennedy had been shot, that he had been taken to Central Receiving Hospital. He said the suspect was apprehended, and that Kennedy fans, Kennedy supporters, literally tried to beat the suspect to death. And they were really giving him quite a pummeling on the ground. This is what he told me.
Well, this was somewhat evident at the time that you ran over, that there was at least a fight in progress or some unnecessary commotion.
As you know, Ray, I ran over there to try and, on a wild 1,000-to-1 shot, trying to get Kennedy to arm microphones, and I heard screaming, which I thought were Beatle-type screams from young fans, and I heard breaking glass, and then people crying and saying that he'd been shot.
From that point on, Bob, boy, we know just about the same thing that you know, and as we said earlier, we have been instructed, the press, although the press is not moving, the embassy room is pretty well barren now of supporters of Kennedy. The majority of the people here are the press. We've been told that that's it, we should move on, and actually, that's about the story, tragic as it is, from here at the embassy room at the Ambassador Hotel. Back to you, Bob.
Ray Williams there. Boyd, as happened in the aftermath of the assassination of President Kennedy, the scene of shock and turmoil here was nationally advertised, just and televised, just as it was when Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald. A television reporter said the man who fired the shot was just about 10 feet from Senator Kennedy at the time. The reporter said that Stephen Smith, Kennedy's brother and campaign manager, also was shot. The American Broadcasting Company said its unit manager, William Weissel, was shot. Kennedy, of course, has been taken to a Los Angeles hospital, and John D. O'Connell, KNX radio newsman, is on that scene and will report to us just as soon as he possibly can.
Of course, the major emphasis is on the results of the treatment of Senator Kennedy, but I would also like to know what happened to the other people involved. Steve Smith, this woman that Ray McMacken said he saw shot in the head. They set up an emergency operating room, apparently, in one of the kitchens there at the Ambassador Hotel. Perhaps Ray Williams or Ray McMacken can get in there and see if we have any report on the others involved.
We understand that five doctors treated the senator before he was removed to the hospital. Another witness to the shooting said he fell down right away, just lay there. Gabor Kadar, who said he was waiting at the rear exit to the room to shake hands with the senator, heard four or five shots and saw Kennedy and a woman fall to the floor. Kadar said Senator Kennedy was holding the right side of his chest, and there was also blood on his head. A priest, before the senator was removed from the hotel, back to Kennedy headquarters for more information from Way Williams.
Well, Bob, we have a young lady here that just informed us that Steve Smith, Kennedy's campaign manager, was not shot. If you would come over here, please, and let us have your information.
Stephen Smith, the senator's brother-in-law, was not shot. I was right there at the time, and he was standing up on a table. He was rather angry and rather distraught, but he certainly was not shot. He's perfectly all right. He's simply gone with the senator to the hospital.
Fine. Thank you very much. And so that clears up the point on Stephen Smith, Bob.
Thank you, Ray. We'll be standing by for any late information that you might have. A priest, as I started to say, before the senator was removed from the hotel, said he attempted to give the senator final rites to the Roman Catholic Church, but the surging crowd pushed him away. The priest said, "I did give him the rosary, and he clenched it tightly. As I was pushed away, there was blood on his head." The arrested man was hurried through a lobby throng, still yelling and screaming at the news of the shooting. "Kill him, lynch him," many in the crowd shouted, and many tried to reach the man, and as we know from Bob Ferris's report, there were some fights that broke out at that time. Police did manage to hustle him out of the lobby and down the stairs to an exit. We have no information as to who the man was. Two reports, one that he was Negro, another that he was Latin American. We will not know until the police issue an official report on that.
I would imagine in this case, Bob, that the police are not going to be issuing very many reports for some time to remove the carnival atmosphere that surrounded the assassination of President John F. Kennedy when they in Dallas, and the police officials there.
Police, as we say, captured a man believed to be the assailant, about 25 years of age, curly-haired and olive-skinned, and they hustled him out through the lobby of the Ambassador Hotel, a shotgun at his back. David Esquith of Los Angeles, Michael Agron, and Ron Udell, all of Los Angeles, brought in a friend whom they said was also wounded in the shooting, brought the friend into Central Receiving Hospital. They identified him as Irwin Stroll, 17, of Los Angeles. They said he did not appear to be seriously injured. The gunman was caught standing on some sort of box. The shooting occurred in a small anteroom off the main ballroom. Only those near the door knew at first that there had been a shooting. Five doctors, as we mentioned earlier, had treated the senator before removal to the hospital. Several Kennedy supporters called for towels immediately after the shooting. A news reporter hastily stripped off a velvet tablecloth and rushed into the kitchen area, jammed with the shouting political supporters of the senator. The scene, complete confusion. Television cameramen and men carrying tape recorders stood on serving tables and tried to hold their equipment close to where first aid was being applied to the wounded. All those shot were bleeding. A tablecloth was used to stem the flow of blood from a blonde man who was stretched over a chair, his shirt up, bleeding profusely around the body. Kennedy's eyes were reported to be open. KNX News reporter Ray McMacken, who was an eyewitness to that scene, said they were open, very definitely, but he was not moving. The wife of one of the doctors said his condition seemed not to be critical, however. We say there have been a number of conflicting reports as to who was shot and who was not shot in this case. We hope to have information on it.
Bob, those reports that we have from the wire services seem to confirm what Ray McMacken said about a blonde man being shot somewhere
yes.
in the waist area. He told us that one of the victims had been shot in the waist. He also told us about a young man being shot apparently in the hip. And we had the report of a 17-year-old youth being taken to Central Receiving Hospital by a friend, apparently not seriously wounded. And this 17-year-old being shot in the hip apparently would clear up some of the confusion over some of the earlier reports that Senator Kennedy had been shot in the hip.
We're waiting for John D. O'Connell to report from the hospital to try to give us some further information on Senator Kennedy's condition. There's absolutely no report available as yet on his condition.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
This is KNX, 1070 News Radio, Los Angeles.
And this is Boyd Harvey along with the entire election coverage here. Bob Arthur with me in the studio as we're trying to piece together the facts that have occurred. A tragedy of major proportions at the Kennedy headquarters here in Los Angeles, where Senator Robert F. Kennedy and apparently three others were shot by an unknown assailant who has been apprehended by Los Angeles police. The condition of Senator Kennedy is still not known. He's at Central Receiving Hospital in Los Angeles. Bob?
Senator Kennedy's wife, Ethel, was at his side during that victory talk that he had made just prior to the shooting. He mentioned his dog, Freckles, and said the pet had been maligned during the campaign. Kennedy then waved to his supporters and was ushered backstage through a kitchen passageway en route to a room where he was to hold a news conference. And it's that time, as best we can piece together, that four or five pistol shots rang out. Reporters ran into the kitchen passageway and saw the tumultuous scene and such exclamations as, "Oh, my God, not again, no, no," cries from the crowd were heard. "Stand back, give him room," others shouted as they tried to make space around the fallen Kennedy. KNX and CBS reporters are on the scene trying to glean what information they can, trying to get information from the Los Angeles Police Department without success. We have been told that one of the other victims in the tragic episode at the Ambassador Hotel was an assistant director for the American Broadcasting Company. He was identified by ABC as Bill Weissel. His wounds were said to be superficial. He is from the Los Angeles area. This is the climax of the California presidential primary, regarded to be one of the most important and the important...